This is HPR episode 2012 entitled, Parsing XML in Python with Untangle, and is part of the series, A Little Bit of Python. It is hosted by Klaatu, and is about 21 minutes long. The summary is, a quick introduction to Untangle, an XML parser for Python.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi everyone, this is Hacker Public Radio. My name is Klaatu, and I'm going to be talking about parsing XML in Python with a great little module called Untangle. So XML, you probably know. If you don't know it, you certainly know one of the subsets of it, or I don't know if that's the right terminology anymore. I don't want to get into political debates, but HTML is very similar to XML. At one point, it was going to be, literally an implementation of it. It was XHTML. It was really actually horrible. But if you've seen HTML, you've basically seen XML. And if you really, really are really wanting to see XML, just go open up the RSS feed of Hacker Public Radio. You will see XML, because RSS is in fact an implementation or a schema of XML. And so is Atom. So it's great. It's everywhere. A lot of people hate it, actually. I will say that I'm a fan of XML. I know that's a crazy thing to say, but I really am. It's got like a really sort of a strangely bad reputation. And I do actually, it's not one of those things where I don't understand why it has a bad reputation. I see the badness of XML. I see like the labor-intensive parsing of XML, and I understand that. And I see how verbose it is, and I understand why that is considered maybe a little bit unnecessary sometimes. But at the same time, I do respect XML a lot, and I'm actually quite fond of it in many ways. And the thing about XML that I like really is the explicitness. It's very, it doesn't leave a whole lot to guessing, it tells you exactly where everything is in relation to everything else. I mean, it is very explicit. It tells you exactly what things are. It tells you the attributes of those things. That's why it's verbose, because it is just so descriptive and very strict. It is infamously strict. If you do bad XML, and we all have, then parsers will break. It is not tolerant of quirks, really, at all. It is, in fact, it's funny that one of the most popular sort of similar subsets of it, HTML, is so liberal and so tolerant of quirks. And XML is just so intolerant of that. So that's what XML is. It's out there. You're going to encounter it, and sometimes you're going to actually want to use it, or at least that's how I've found things to be. I've found use for XML on several occasions where JSON just isn't robust enough, or plain text, just wouldn't do it justice or whatever. So XML it has its uses, but as I said at the beginning, it can be a little bit difficult to parse, really. And honestly, I have found in Python some of the absolute most painful XML parsing I've ever done has been with the usual suspects of the Python module group. One of those usual suspects is LXML, which I think technically, I was going to say that was the built-in one, but I don't think it actually is. I think you have to add that in. There's LXML, and then there's Beautiful Soup. A lot of people talk about Beautiful Soup a lot. And those are fine tools, don't get me wrong. I just personally, like, you know, when you open up the one that's supposed to be super user-friendly and really great, i.e. Beautiful Soup, and when you ask the internet how to locate, you know, some tag within your XML tree, and it's giving you Beautiful Soup mixed with XPath commands, I don't know, to me, that misses the point of even using Python to parse XML. I mean, if you have to do XPath, why am I even bothering? I mean, that's how I feel. And that's just my personal opinion. Other people, you know, especially if you're very used to XPath, maybe you love it. Maybe that's just totally logical to you. To me, it's not. And so I went on a search for alternative parsers within Python. And I found two good ones. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about Untangle. So Untangle takes an XML document and converts it into a Python class. And so it takes your XML, and each element becomes an object, essentially, with a bunch of attributes. And you can probe that object, that class, for information about itself. That probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but don't worry, it's actually really simple. And I can give you a really basic example. So let's say we have an XML document, and I'm going to do a little bit of pseudo docbook here. I'm not going to it's probably not correct exactly, but it's close enough. So we'll say we have a book tag, and in the book tag we have a chapter with an ID of prologue, and then in that chapter we have a title, and the title is The Beginning, and then we close the title, and we close the chapter, and then we close the book. So we have no real content here except for a chapter and a title of that chapter, and all of that sits in a book object, or a book in the book element. Okay, so that's a really basic, mostly compliant docbook document. So if we take that into Python, then we can do an import untangle. And untangle, by the way, is not included with Python. You will need to install that separately, and usually that's done, or I find it easiest to do with pip install untangle, or pip install --user untangle. Or, of course, if your repository has Python -untangle is usually what it's called, or I guess it could be like py untangle, but I think I've usually seen it as py -untangle, then you can just install it from your repository as well. I use pip because at work I can't install things to the system, so I do pip install --user, whatever. So that's untangle installation. So yeah, if we take our little sample XML document into Python, we can do an import untangle. And then we can assign the XML document that we've just created to a variable, passing it through untangle parsing. So we'll do like data equals untangle.parse, parentheses, quote, example.xml, close quote, close parentheses. So now all that XML data has been dumped, parsed and dumped into a variable called data. And you can see it at this point. You can do data.book. And why is it data.book? Well, because data is the name of the element that we've created, right? We did that. Data equals untangle.parse. So that's our object, data. And then the dot book is saying, well, I want to look in the attribute called book, which is our root element in the XML tree, because that was the first element. Remember, it was book, chapter, title. So data.book would return the string element, parentheses, name equals book, attributes equals curly brace, cData equals blank, and then close parentheses. So right there, you get in data.book, you get the name of the element, which is book, any attributes contained in that element, which is none, and any data, like content data, cData, in that element, which again is nothing, which seems a little bit weird because you think, but there's a chapter and a title in that book. And that is true, and that is a little bit weird, but it's giving you, it's not giving you the entire tree, obviously. It's looking at that element and looking at its contents, essentially. So since we do know that there's a chapter, you can do a data.book.chapter, and that would return element parentheses name equals chapter, attributes equals curly brace ID colon prologue close curly brace, cData equals blank close parentheses. So this time we got our chapter element. We called it that way. We said book.chapter. So we got the name of the chapter, or the name of the element, which is chapter. We got the attributes, which is the word ID, and the key, that's the key, and the value of that is prologue. And that's just something that I made up. And of course, there's still no content here. It's all just element and attribute. So we could drill down further, and we could do data.book.chapter.title, which would return the string element parentheses name equals title, attributes equals curly brace, and then cData would equal the beginning, and then close parentheses. And the reason that it's like that is because, again, we've got the tag itself, which is title, the element called title. We didn't give it any attributes in my example.xml. And the content is the only content that our little book contains. It's the words, the beginning. So that's our book right now. So it's actually quite simple, as you can see. I mean, it lines everything up as classes, and you can call them in the order that they appear in your document and get the data about them. And that's quite nice. Now, you can go in and extract individual bits of information too. You don't have to get the whole big string of everything. You know, getting the attributes returned when there are no attributes present is kind of wasteful. And getting the name of the element is a little bit weird if, in order to call that element, you had to know the name. So let's say, for instance, that you want to get the chapter. You know that there's a chapter, but you want just the name of the attribute of it. So you would do a data.book.chapter square bracket quote ID square bracket or quote square bracket. So it's just like a dictionary. You're saying data book chapter, but just show me the ID element of this thing that you're returning to me. And that would of course tell you, oh, that's prologue. And similarly, we could say, okay, well now data.book.chapter.title.cData, and then I would do a dot strip parentheses parentheses, and we would get the string the beginning. There's some inconsistency there, it seems, because in the book and the chapter method, you're calling the ID key, but to get the cData, you're treating it basically like another function of this sort of class thing that you've got. So that's kind of, I'm not saying that Untangle is fantastic in terms of consistency. I'm just saying it's a lot easier than learning, XPath, to be honest. So what if you have more than just a chapter and a title? So we could expand our example.xml into book, chapter ID, prologue, equals prologue, title, the beginning, close title, and then open a paragraph. And we could say this is the first paragraph, and then close the paragraph, and then close that chapter. And then, of course, most books have more than one chapter, so we could say, okay, so chapter ID equals end, title, the ending, close title, paragraph, last paragraph of this chapter, of this book, close paragraph, close chapter, close book. So now we've got this book document with two chapters, meaning that it also therefore has two titles, and it also has two paragraphs. It's a little bit more realistic. So what you can do there is you kind of return to this kind of pseudo, almost a dictionary syntax. So you go data.book.chapter. Okay, which chapter do you want? Well, we want the zeroth chapter. So we'll do square bracket zero, close square bracket. And that would return element name equals chapter attributes equals ID prologue, C data nothing. And then data.book.chapter square bracket one square bracket would return element name chapter attributes ID equals end. And C data again, nothing, because these don't have any. This doesn't have content still, and it won't. The chapter will never have a content object because it doesn't. It contains other elements. You can do essentially, I guess, the same thing. Like, well, let's say again, like, so if you have. If you have more than, you know, we now have two chapters, as I said, and two paragraphs, yeah? So if we just said, okay, well, I want the data.book, the .chapter.title, it's going to tell us that we have no idea, that it has no idea what we're asking for. But if we then say, okay, well, I want data.book.chapter square bracket zero close square bracket .title.cdata.strip ; then we would get the string the beginning. And similarly, if we said data.book.chapter square bracket one square bracket .title.cdata.strip ; then we would get the string the ending. So in other words, like, to sum that little snippet up there, if you've got more than one element, and you usually will in your document, then you have to tell it which element parent you're looking at. So if it's the first chapter, it has to be chapter zero. If it's the second chapter, chapter one, and so on. There's a point at which that stops being as important, because, like, well, even in HTML, you can have a div inside of a div inside of a div, but at some point, you know, you run out of things. Of nesting things, and then that's when you can kind of drop the specificity. That's a hard word to say. So yeah, but just keep in mind, like, if you've got multiple parents, then you have to define which parent you're looking at when you want to look at certain children. And you can of course look at, you know, you don't have to do title, obviously. You can do data.book.chapter square bracket zero square bracket dot para.cdata.strip ; and you'd get the strings. This is the first paragraph. And if you did data.book.chapter square bracket one square bracket dot para.cdata.strip ; then you would get last paragraph of the last, or of the book, or whatever I wrote in there. And you can also, of course, iterate over all of this stuff. There are lots of different ways to do that. It gets a little bit complex, to be honest. So the easy, super easy way would be doing something just like count equals square bracket 0, comma 1, close square bracket. Or, of course, in real life, you could do like a range or something. And then you could say for tick in count, colon, and then indent, print, data.book.chapter, square bracket tick, close square bracket, parentheses, and that way you're essentially printing first data.book.chapter 0, and you would get all the information there, and then you would get data.book.chapter 1, and you would get all the information from that. And obviously you could drill down further to just get certain elements or whatever you would need. And I could see you needing to do that if you were parsing XML. You know, you would probably want to read in information from specific tags from all the different occurrences of their parents. So that's Untangle. Is it perfect? I don't know if it's perfect. I really don't know. But I do know that it's a little bit wonky sometimes in terms of syntax. Like I pointed out earlier, the fact that you can call it the chapter ID or you know, some element by the attribute key without really saying, you know, without any, I don't know, there's not a clear, I don't feel like there, it's very clear as to when you can do that and when you can't. Although it is, I mean, if you look at the element and there's a dictionary in there, then yes, you can call it by dictionary key. I mean, it, technically speaking, yes, it does work. The fact that C data has no apparent type, it just says like C data equals, and then the strings that contain that are contained in the chapter contents or whatever, you know, the tag contents, that's a little bit weird. And in XML, you know, very frequently you've got a lot of white space, and strangely Untangle kind of preserves a lot of that white space, which usually is not what you want. I mean, that's kind of the point of having tags. You can structure your document such that it looks nice to you, but the tags actually point to the important bits of information. So the fact that Untangle does that is a little bit odd, and that's why I kept using dot strip parentheses parentheses to get rid of those, the surrounding white space on the tag contents. So there are quirks to Untangle, to the Untangle module, but it's really not that bad once you get used to it. And it is a heck of a lot easier than trying to navigate the XML tree with really any other tool that I've used so far. Again, probably my use of it limits, you know, I mean, if you are going to do fancier things with XML, this might not work for you. This might be too simple. And that is the trade-off. And it's acknowledged in the Untangle documentation that it is, the idea is to make this really, really simple rather than to, you know, have like this super robust, featureful XML parser. It's more just about having a parser that works. So it's very, very convenient. It's very nice. You should check it out. It's called Untangle. It's available on the internet. Thank you for listening to this episode. My name is Klaatu. This has been Hacker Public Radio. I'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.